Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ben Criddle's life accomplishments include being a two-time conference champion, creator of the Ode to the Walk-On, business mogul, and every Cougar fan's favorite weekday sports radio host. This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle, right here on ESPN 960.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Larry H. Miller, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram location. All these vehicles can be driven by you. Test drive any one of the new or used vehicles here. Got great deals going on right now. Talk to Curtis Grieve, the GM down here. He's been a longtime title sponsor of our show, and also he's been a 12-year corporate sponsor of BYU Athletics. So looking to get the best deals, come on in. We'd love to take care of it. Also got a Fat Daddy's Pizzeria $50 gift certificate. I'll put that out on social media so you can see it. Some swag to give away as well. Little Footloose bringing us back from the break. That's our song of the segment, always brought to you by RoyalArmyBrand.com. BYU swag crew to buy fans for fans. All right, let's talk some football. Let's talk special teams. And it's going to be brought to you by Ruby's Inn. RubysInn.com. Go to RubysInn.com/960 to get 20% off your stay right there next to Bryce Canyon National Park. Let's welcome in former BYU kicker, Utah kicker, Snow Badger kicker, and VP of Sales of PrepWarm, PrepWarm.com, Moose Bingham on the line. What's up, Moose?
Benjamin, I love being a kicker, and I love Footloose. What a great song to come into.
Yes,
got a
indeed.
Little Lehigh pride going on, don't you?
Yes, I do. Moose, what were you most frustrated with last night? The offense, the defense, or special teams?
Well, can we start out with what I'm pumped about? We got
yes.
the win, first
yes.
of all, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was frustrated with how BYU came out in the game, to be honest with you. You can tell they overlooked Utah State. They weren't ready for rivalry game. And Utah State gets up to this game. It is a huge game for them each and every year up until this point. So I was a little disappointed how BYU came out. I was really impressed with some of the defensive players, to be honest with you. But I was most disheartened by the field goal, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you do? How do you address this right now, right? You have some issues here. I never like to call for kids to be benched. Love all the Cougar football players that choose to come to Provo. I think all of us feel that way when they initially commit, when they come into Provo. We're just happy that they're a part of the Cougar football family. And then they get into the game and they succeed, they fail, and we're like, wait a second, we got to win. Does this young man give us the best opportunity to win? How do you address this right now if you're Coach Ed Lamb and I don't know who else is over the specialist right now. I know Gavin Fowler has been in that spot at times, but how do you address this if you're the Cougar coaching staff?
Yeah, it's still Gavin Fowler and Ed Lamb, and I actually think they do a great job, and I think that they've given Jake a ton of opportunities. But at this point, you open the competition back up. We had to do that in the past. In 2017, we had four different kickers kicking field goals. We had Rhett Allman, we had Jake, we had Andrew Mickelson at the end of the year. We had
yeah.
Corey Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a next man up mentality. People like to treat kickers like different positions, but kickers are like any other position. You have to perform at the end of the day, no matter what. And Jake, maybe he goes through practice this next week, gets everything in, and really does well, but they have to put him in high pressure situations in practice as well to try to give him or Justin or Cash, whoever gives them the best chance to win, that's what's going to matter at this point, because at the end of the day, you have to win. And I love all three of these kids. Don't get me wrong. I think all of them are outstanding human beings, but college football is a business. Mm-hmm. You have to win games at the end of the day, and that's what you get paid to do as a player, as a coach, and as an administration. If you don't win games, then changes start to happen very quickly from the top down.
Got to win football games. Look, a win is a win is a win. The style, the form, the fashion in which you win right now is what determines the happiness, though, of the Cougar Nation. You did not win the way that you were supposed to win, and Cougar Nation's not very happy about it because they feel really less confident heading into Notre Dame and Arkansas. So this subjective kind of feeling of, man, it almost feels like we lost the game for some BYU fans. Give me your thoughts on that, because like, I've got a ton of messages, not of positivity, on my DMs and text messages. They've been telling me all about things that are wrong with this team right now.
Okay, here's the deal. At the end of the day, we still freaking won, Cougar Nation. Woo! Love that. So, there were some negatives in the first half. That's okay. They came out the second half, and even though BYU had the bend-don't-break mentality on defense, we had two amazing turnovers, or three. We had two picks that were phenomenal. A pick six, which doesn't happen very often in college football at all. The defense, even though it was a little bit rough the first half, we still had a good rush defense after everything was said and done, if you look at the stats. We're still growing. We're still thriving. This is still a younger team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But you're going to take your lumps.
Yeah.
I can't say that I was perfect in work this week. Maybe you were, Ben. But I had a slow start on Monday. But I had a heck of a day on Friday, I can tell you that. Ending the day with you. So sometimes we gotta go to the drawing board, see what's happening. And there were some really positives too from the game too. Let's talk about the receiving core. It doesn't matter who's in there. It seems like Jaren Hall's flinging it to anyone and everyone. I've been so impressed with Stetson Satake. Let's talk about our pass pro. Amazing. The running back started to look good again. Jaren Hall is incredible. I want to look at the glass three-fourths of the way full instead of a quarter of the way empty.
Hey, I got a question for you, Moose. Jake Brandon here from CougConnect.com. Let's say you've got Jake and he's your best option from what you've seen, and you're his position coach right now. As a kicker, you put the coach's hat on. What are you telling Jake to help him get right going forward?
What I'm telling Jake is that we're taking it one kick at a time. Let's control what we can control. I'm taking his phone and I'm throwing it away as well.
Yeah.
I'm not letting him look at social media at all. Mm-hmm. Not putting it in a tent, Ben.
Put him in a tent. Put him in a tent.
We're not
take away social media.
But we're taking social media away from him, and we're putting him in situations in practice that help him out. The other thing I'm doing is I'm calling in a favor from Craig Manning and having him sit with Jake as well. You know, the resources are there at BYU, and I sat with Craig Manning as a sports, as a kicker, and it helps my game a lot. The thing that made Jake so great for so long was his unshakable confidence. The Baylor game really took a toll on him, and I still think that he has it in him. He just has to find that confidence, bring it back, and really dominate again. I mean, it takes a second. The hard thing about sports is that you're always 1 week away from your next outing. And so it's not like you have a year to prepare for this next opportunity. It's there before you know it, and then it's gone before you know it. So Jake is going to be fine if he's our best option. But I really think Justin's good. I really think Cash is good. I think both of those guys have been working, and even though they're quote-unquote freshmen, they're like 30-year-old freshmen. I mean, Cash graduated in like 2016 or 17. and it's 2022.
Like, yeah.
Same with Justin. So it's not like you're dealing with young, real freshmen. These guys both went on missions. They both redshirted. They both had a COVID year. They're over 4 years out of high school. So it's not like we're starting from square one like a lot of programs are. We have very capable guys that have in-game reps. So that's what's going to be interesting to watch, how they handle this battle. And what's really interesting about Jake is he's still a junior.
Right.
He still has another year if he wants it. If he wants to stay at BYU or if he wants to go somewhere else. And that's what you have to balance. You have to balance the development of your younger guys and if you're keeping the older guy around, because Jake has graduated. At least I hope he has at this point.
Yeah. Moose, you've been in these meeting rooms with the coaches, obviously with the players as well. I loved Fessy's commentary, his rebuttal to a media member about certain criticisms. Jared Lloyd said, one of these days the BYU offensive staff will realize that opponents are prepared for the slant blocking scheme and try something else in the run game. It's been terrible for most of the season. Yeah, outside zone. Fessy Satake says this, come join our offensive staff meeting tomorrow. Would love to hear your insights. Number one, just kind of take this in for me. Like, what's your analysis of this? Is it good or bad? I don't know. I'm kind of neutral with it. I love that Fessy interacts on social media. I think he's just a fun-loving guy and giving media members a hard time. He gives me a hard time as well. In fact, he's a sponsor, or rather Chubby's Cafe UT is now a sponsor of all my questions and polls of the day. And Fessy actually can get free food as part of this deal. His entire family can be fed by Chubby's every day if they want for free. So, Fessy, congratulations. But I love it. What do you think fans would say to, like, the coaching staff if they – if they were in those meeting rooms?
The fact he said slants instead of outside zone is comical to me, but what you guys have to realize is that these guys are absolute professional educators and teachers and masters of their craft. If you sit down with Elijah Tuiaki, I feel like the size of a peon with my knowledge of defenses when I sit down with him. It's amazing. I love going to the spring coaches clinic and just listening to coaches and how they are passionate of breaking down each individual play. I was kind of chuckling. I was with my wife at the Oregon game, and she's like, what's so complicated about this, Moose? There's only like 5 plays the offense can run. Run this way, run that way, pass it here, pass it there. It's like you're really setting
Tecmo ball, right?
Yeah. Basically, but you're setting everything up. Sometimes you'll run a certain play 2 or 3 times so that you can run a counterplay to that in the fourth quarter. This is such a deliberate and strategic chess game with chess pieces that don't necessarily listen to you all the time. And I love listening to these coaches. If they invited me to an offensive staff, I would be there with notes ready to go. I'd sit down in Lamb's meetings like, I love this stuff. I'd sit in Ed Lamb's meetings with his linebackers, and he'd be like, what in tarnation are you doing here, Moose? And I'm like, learning. I want to know what Hawkeye coverage is. I want to know what this is, why you guys do this. And it's so fun to learn. It's a little arrogant to think that you have the knowledge to go in and say, have you guys thought of this yet or that? These guys aren't on their first rodeo. Many of these guys are former P5 coaches, Division I, NFL players. They've been through the ringer. They've done their homework. They do all the little things. They go to conventions in the offseason. They train with other coaches. It's a hard job to be an NFL coach and college coach. And a lot of people are like, well, they only go out 13 times during the season, maybe 14. Well, yeah, they only go out 12 to 14 times in the season, and they spend their whole entire year for those precious, precious games, for that precious game time. there's a reason Kalani's so hyped going into Cougar Stadium, because he only gets to do it 6-7 times a year. And
right.
I love that Bessie is using this tongue-in-cheek invitation, and I hope whoever from the media said that maybe goes in there, maybe records a little bit. Maybe they put him on the board, because playing high school football, which is what the majority of people have, it's a very basic type of football. Once you get to college, you almost become get your master's in football theology, almost. And if you get into the NFL, you've got a doctorate at that point. There's things in blocking schemes. I mean, you can spend a lifetime in one position, let alone a scheme. And that's what makes football so interesting. And so, I mean, so amazing to watch, because you never know what's going to happen in this chess match with live human beings.
Yeah, I remember listening to John Madden talk about the first time he met Vince Lombardi. He went to a coach's clinic, and he said Vince Lombardi spent 8 hours teaching how to run the outside counter. And he whiteboarded. He went through every position, everyone's steps, everyone's angles, what to do if you get this look, that look, this look. And John Madden was a new, like, JUCO assistant coach, and he's just taking feverish notes. He said a bunch of people left after, like, 4 or 5 hours, and he was just eating it up. There's a lot that goes into everything that happens out there. So, you know, we spent, when I was at Spanish Fork, we spent an entire Saturday driving up to Idaho State to learn how to get the mesh right for a pistol inside zone read with the post RPO on it. So the quarterback's feet were in the right position to make the throw, and he was also out of the way so that after the mesh began, the, you know, the running back could read his point of attack on the line of scrimmage. And I just don't know that the majority of people who enjoy loving the great sport of football understand the kind of minutia that goes into making all that stuff happen.
You just started using a lot of Latin words at me. I'm a simple kicker, C ball, kick ball. No, it gets really interesting and really complicated very quickly. And if you understand everyone's alignment, assignment, and technique, it's amazing to see what happens on the football field. I compare it to a ballet with 300-pound, 6-foot-8 human beings. And it's just incredible to watch if you understand what's going on. Does it get a little crass? Is it a little vulgar at times? Yeah, but that makes it all the more fun. I've never heard a swear word in the Nutcracker, but I sure as heck have in Cougar Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Moose, final thing for you. I don't know if you ever came to a conclusion. If you're Ed Lamb and Gavin Fowler, do you maybe bench Jake, maybe move him just over to kickoffs and bring in Justin or Cash and let them take the field goals? Or do you do what you mentioned and bring in like a psychologist and say, hey, we're going to invest in you. We're going to figure this out. We're going to take away your phone. No social media. Like, what do you is that the route you go, or do you put him to the pine and say, hey, you may get another opportunity if this guy fails?
So not in jest, but what I would actually do is you do an open kicking competition, you chart every single kick, and you make it as live and you make it as situational as possible. I'd be kicking 50, 60 field goals this next week during practice just to see who charted it out better. And if Jake charts out better, that's amazing. If Justin charts out better, let's roll with him until something bad happens. But you can't have kickers where they're in the situation if they're like, if I miss one field goal, I'm done. Because that puts an extra layer of pressure. If you're ready to roll with Justin, roll with Justin, but he has to prove himself as well. You don't want to just keep going through kickers, because there's only so many people on a football team that can kick the ball at a college level. And you've got 3 of them right now, but you don't want to ruin what you have for the future in Justin by playing mind games with him either.
Yeah, it's tough. Moose, are you more of a love and learning guy or an accountability, discipline, effort guy?
Oh, I am an accountability, discipline, effort guy. Bronco Mendenhall, Kyle Whittingham, they drilled that into my head. And accountability is what makes the world go round in my eyes. It makes everyone better if you say, hey, that was my bad, let's keep rolling. Mm-hmm. And you love people as much as you can, but I got to win at the end of the day. That's all I care about is winning. I don't care if it's ugly. I don't care if it's beautiful. As long as we've got that win column check mark, we can go back and evaluate what happened. But let's keep winning.
Yeah. Moose, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for hopping on, brother.
Oh, freaking love you, Benjamin. Have a glorious, glorious general conference weekend, brother.
You too, man. Hopefully you're fed both physically and spiritually, brother.
Oh, we hope so. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. Moose Bingham, ladies and gentlemen. Jake, what are you, man? Are you more of a love-learning kind of culture? And let me kind of specify this with Fessy's own tweets, right? Proud of the boys for fighting through some adversity on a short week. Wins are too sweet to take for granted. Excited to watch the film, learn, and move on to the next opponent. Shout out to all the positive fans out there riding our culture with us. You know, Shaka or, you know, Go Cougs, love and learn. He responds to an individual, Adler Harris, 8. Negativity may be how you learn, but not us. I just state our culture is love and learning, not negativity and learning. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy conference. Go Cougs. So there's a couple of things I want to unfold here. Is accountability negative? Is it viewed nowadays as negative? And I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, I kind of ascribe to the some people would I don't know whose philosophy it is, but like I was Jordan Peterson, right? Clinical psychologist.
Yeah. I've read two of his books.
Yeah, he's a fantastic author, but you know, he talks about how you become desensitized to certain stimuli, mm-hmm, and certain things, right? Where you're just like, it no longer affects you, right? It no longer affects you. So accountability, 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 you almost like you take it, like, I don't know about you and team, you know, being in team formats or even in the corporate world, like sometimes, you know, it's like there's some contention. It's like, I actually kind of enjoy like when we're being pressed on something because I feel like we grow from it. But it is viewed as negative for those that have not been experiencing
it.
Accountability every day of their life. So this is an intriguing study to me because I love the love and learning mantra and mentality. This is Kalani to
right.
A T. That's how he's always been. I've been coached by him. I mean, he's my guy. Like I've been coached by Bronco and Kalani. And both of them, you know, taught me a lot. And I had success under both of them.
Yeah.
Is there a right or wrong way of doing it? No. But you know, this is an interesting study to me. Number one, I don't have any conclusion here other than, like, think about it. Like, us as fans, are which one do we ascribe to personally, and which one do we want to support outwardly?
Right. So I think there's a time and a place for everything. I don't think you can exclusively sell out on one or the other because you've got to be free to make some mistakes and learn from them and grow. And you can't really do that if you're not held accountable. And you also can't really do that if you don't have a second chance to come out and learn from it and grow. I think if you're going to build an identity or a culture around something, it's got to be genuine. So it's got to fit your personality as a head coach, your personality as a position coach, right? So I think with Bronco, and I went to coaches' clinics when I was coaching high school ball with Bronco for many years. I got to sit in a room with a handful of people with Bronco and get to pick his brain and hear what he thought about football, what he thought about life, what he thought about mentoring, all these things. And I love Bronco. I think he was a huge asset to the university. I think he's a huge asset to, the church, as being a member of the church who's gone to other schools and set a good example and done tremendous things there. So I'm not a Bronco hater by any means. And I've been around Kalani in the same situation at clinics and things as well. And I think both approaches fit their identity as a person. And they both know who they are. They both know what comes across as genuine because it fits their identity. It would be very hard, I think, for Kalani to become the hard-nosed, accountable guy in the style of Broncos coaching and vice versa. I think Coach Mendenhall would have a very difficult time building an identity, a program around love and learning that doesn't really fit him. It would not come off as genuine and real. So I think there's a time and a place to use both things, but I also think you got to know who you are and what your style is. My approach as an OC was very much love and learning. I had no problem pulling a kid and saying, "Hey," but I would never do anything but, "Hey, let's fix this in the offseason. You know, let's fix this in practice next week. Let's fix this there. We got to put my best guys in the field. We got to score points and we got to score points fast and things like that." So I think you got to know who you are. And I think you've got to have a genuine approach with that. That's just me.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm kind of formulating this as I'm taking into account some commentaries here because I do think that we live in a social media age, and these these student athletes are utilizing social media on a number of fronts to, let's say, promote themselves, to interact, and sometimes it's to date, sometimes it's to get recruited. Now it's NIL,
yeah.
And so they're there a lot, and not all know how to navigate it, and not all know how to delineate which opinions actually matter and which opinions don't matter. And I'm sorry to say this, Cougar Nation, more often than not, like, our opinions don't matter. They just don't. Media members, fans, don't matter.
Media members, too. Like, I feel like Ben and I could have very in-depth conversations about football and a lot of things that, you know, maybe other people couldn't. But we also aren't in practice every day.
No.
We aren't, you know, like, we also aren't, hey, they should try this. They should, I've been saying, we should do more pistols, more A's, more. Maybe they have in practice, and maybe it's been atrocious. Like, we don't know, right? So is our opinion as valid as these guys who's their full-time job and they're dedicated with the, no, I think you're right.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm just kind of taking it into account. So, like, as I dissect this, you know, it was love and learning completely disassociated from public accountability. And I think what I see Fessy's trying to do is trying to buffer and barrier, you know, the negativity of social media from his players. Now, the only way to do it is ultimately to get off social media, because human, the human condition is what it is. So the comments that I get from, would if you were to be in front of the coaches in one of the staff meetings, what would you say to them? Stay off social media is what some of the – everybody, stay off social media. And there's – going back to Bronco, he said, get off social media.
Yeah.
Well, then how do you promote yourself? How do you make money off NIL? Yeah. How do you develop a brand? Yeah. I don't know, man. Let others do it for you. I think Jaron's done a pretty good job of that. But not everyone's a quarterback that has resources in order to do that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You have to have a vision, and hopefully you can execute that vision as well. But we got to go to break. We'll welcome in the luscious-haired lefty, Riley Nelson, to break down the performance of Cougar football from last night's game. BYU came out victorious over the Utah State Aggies, 38-26. How's Riley feeling about this team heading into kind of this long preparatory week, getting fed spiritually and physically over the weekend, getting our minds and bodies and spirits right before we head off to face off the Fighting Irish, Catholics versus the Mormons in Sin City. That's right, Notre Dame and BYU getting after it in Vegas. We'll go to break. Luscious-haired lefty, Riley Nelson. Coming up next, this is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.